Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com. Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
If I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard.
And think to yourself, there's no place like home.
There's no place like home.
Repeating, we're not in Kansas anymore.
That's right. You've landed on Homegrown Health with Joni Cox, a show about everything and anything pertaining to home, including parental rights, home birthing, homeschooling, and even raising homegrown kids naturally.
But just try to stay out of my way. Just try. I'll get you, my pretty.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Content in this program is not intended to diagnose or treat any ailment or illness and is for educational purposes only. It's Homegrown Health on Natural News Radio.
Welcome to Homegrown Health. Today I'm Joni Cox and I have a special show today for you. This is something that if you've listened to my show at all, it's about a bunch of homegrown health stuff. But we can't do what we do as parents. We cannot do what we want to do as individuals without our rights to medical freedoms, without our right to choose, without our rights not being infringed upon. And the show today, I'm just going to get right into it. It's about the Matthews family from Chicago, Illinois. They are in the middle of a crisis with their 8-year-old daughter, who's been diagnosed with cancer, and the oncologist is none too happy with them for their decision to research, challenge, question, and pursue alternative therapies. And by alternative, I'm meaning anything outside of the current modern medical model for cancer treatment. So the oncologist did what many other oncologists in our nation have done to families just like this or individuals, and that is call CPS. and get social workers involved and falsely charge them with medical neglect. That is an assault on parental rights. That is an assault on American families. And I couldn't be more upset about it myself. It happens all the time. And every single case disgusts me. And as I'm sure it upsets you. And my husband's going to be joining me later after I talk to Jay. He's got some insight on this issue. And as parents, we just feel it's really important to bring up a few extra talking points and points of view on this very unfortunate issue that needs to be stopped and changed. It needs to be talked about among other parents. It needs to be talked about, more importantly, with politicians and legislators who can help change medical tyranny in our country. Jay Matthews, thank you so much for joining me today on Homegrown Health. I know this has been an emotional journey, and I know this has been something very new to you with the alternative therapies and the idea of everything. Why don't you give us a little bit of background? When did you first notice problems or illness or signs of illnesses with your 8-year-old daughter? Was she sickly as a baby?
First of all, thank you. Thank you, Joni, for having me. My daughter, she's eight years old, and she was just a healthy kid as usual as my other three. There was never any signs at all. There's no signs of, cancer in our house, my side or my wife. So this is so absolutely very, very, very new to us and how to deal with it as well.
Okay. And so when did she get her diagnosis?
Diagnosis was this year, April 19th. It's not even quite 2 months now. So we sort of had an idea prior to that, but the actual after the biopsy was taken, April 19th was the date we received that it is indeed osteosarcoma, just localized on the right shoulder.
Okay, on the right shoulder. Okay, I'm going to edit part of that out, but for myself, just for me stumbling, when you received her diagnosis, it's my understanding you weren't even in the country.
That's right. That's how it turned out. We initially thought it was just, she had complained about a month prior to that she had shoulder pains, and it sort of went away, and we thought it was a gym injury or something, but we were actually on vacation. And she was moving it less and less, and but it's already been a couple of weeks, so let's take a look. And so we took an X-ray. We were out of the country, took an X-ray. We were in India, actually, and my wife's family had some family there. So, and when they took the X-ray, they were all like, and they called the ortho doctor, and all the doctors came and looked just based on the X-ray, and they wanted the CT scans. We did that there, and they, the radiologist there, within 2 hours, they already already wrote that this is a sarcoma of some sort. They're not sure, but that's a possibility. And the doctor said immediately, you should probably just go right back to America. They have the best treatment there. It's stuff that we can't, limb salvage and things that our treatment modalities that they do not have there. And we were this, supposed to be there for about 5 weeks. We came back right the first week, came right back. And that's when it started. We went immediately to the hospital and Children's in Chicago. And started doing the test, the MRI, and of course we went to the biopsy. And then April 19th, that's when we sort of had confirmation that it is osteosarcoma.
And osteosarcoma, just for the listening audience, is bone cancer in her right shoulder.
Right shoulder, correct. And for some reason, they don't stage it. For some reason, they just either localize or metastatic. So they did the whole body scan, and it was just at the right shoulder.
Okay, good. So it's not spread anywhere else to any other part of her body, and it looks like you're catching it very early.
Correct, and that's why we rushed back. And I think everybody, even us, they have the impression that, it's very important to catch it early. And we did, because we think we caught it early, but some people say, you need to start treatment early, too. But because we caught it early, I suppose maybe we had some time to, become more knowledgeable. And I think that's probably more important than catching it, or as important as catching it early.
And so tell us a little bit more then about how everything led up to you seeing, of course, you come back to America, you see the oncologist. What was their response?
Yeah, so the oncologist, you know, when we had the biopsy result, they said this is osteosarcoma. They even, on April 19th itself, they laid out, you know, the chemo agents that they want to use and the actual course of therapy. And and actually, the reason I also wanted to, you know, mention all of this is because it is sort of very simplistic in the way that they you know, it is being osteosarcoma, I think, around the country is being treated. It's a same regimen, and it's 10 weeks of chemo, then you have the surgery, and then 19 weeks of chemo. And they had already presented the agents, and the agents are similar, I think, anywhere you go, most places you go, and they have those agents outlined. They call it a MAP regimen: MAP, methotrexate for M, and Adriamycin for A, of course, and P for platinum. So that's the agents that they're intending on using. So initially we had said, well, what are you? Of course, the only question we had no idea of any other options. So we were, the only question that we could say is, are you absolutely sure? I mean, do we really want, is this the only option? And that's the only option that is available. So what are we supposed to do? Of course, we said, okay, we'll start. So April 19th, we said we're going to go ahead and start the chemo. We went home that night and we're looking at the, agents, and of course the oncologist had suggested also that, that some parents may consider taking out an ovary at a child. She's 8 years old. So, can she have childbirth? Questionable. They're not saying one way or the other. So that's, so what do? Take out the ovary. So that was the initial thought of, how much trauma are we going to cause a child? Then there was, if I just go down the list, how much of the bone are we going to salvage? How much of the limb are we going to salvage? Would she be able to, the orthopedic oncologist, there's no way, raising your hand, in class, she'd never be able to do that again. So there were those limitations. There may be, and it's very, very uncertain what she can and can't do. And then, of course, you're going to have, with some of these agents, you're going to have to get a hearing test because they call it ototoxicity, hearing potential loss or toxic to the, that your hearing impairment, you could have a degree of hearing impairment. So they want to take a baseline to see what her hearing is initially so that they can check periodically, see how. That's one. Then they take an echo, which is a heart function, because there's cardiotoxicity, it was heart issues. So they want to see how much of the heart function you're going to lose. And most of these agents have a certain amount of toxicity they'll allow. And when the cardiac function drops below, then they'll go, okay, whoops, we got to use another agent now. So when you list all of the, I can keep going on and on. There's just so many things that came up. And that night, and I'm just saying, I haven't even touched the statistics about what the, what the numbers were, because I asked them what the numbers were at in terms of survival, 5-year survival and stuff. And so they gave me those numbers, which is from what the graph that they gave me was 9 out of 14 cases between 2001 and 2007. There were 14 cases. It's 14 cases that they treated, and 9 children made it past 5 years. So we don't know at what formed, how maimed, or what that is, but 9 made it past the 5-year mark.
Right. So we don't even know the quality of life that they may be living, or if the cancer returned in the 6th year and maybe returned worse. None of that information is available. Jay, I'd like for you to share with us what you do for a living.
I am a pharmacist, and I've been a pharmacist for 18 years. I haven't practiced too much in terms of, oncology, and it's just, if you're a pharmacist, you sort of practice what you I'm in retail, and so you see more of the retail kind of thing. Of course, cancer agents and stuff was something that was taught to us, and these agents were there when I was 18 and graduated 18 years ago. Similar age, they are the exact same agents, and it's just, and I tell you the truth, this may sound weird, but I have not even thought about these agents since I graduated, and since, you know, the board exams are passing the graduation, because I've never been exposed to it or had to it even in practice. So, I know some of the, I know the basics. I know what we needed to study for the exams and boards and, you know, the toxicity and, you know, the life-limiting doses and stuff like that. We did it in terms of, having to be proficient, you know, at your field. But, of course, once you don't practice, you sort of lose. So I haven't, and really, to tell you the truth, since that time, I haven't really been exposed until, again, when I have to relook at these agents again. So I am familiar with them in that sense.
And that's understandable. You know, oftentimes we just get crammed with so much information just to pass our tests that that information's not always remembered, you know, 18 years later. But since you are familiar with pharmacology, you understand the potency and the toxicity potential, that these things are toxins and they are very dangerous to any human body, but in particular, children's body. Did you see the inserts that came with the chemotherapy drugs that they were recommending?
I have gone over those agents. Yeah, I have been. Right now, we're actually pushing those agents away, you know, as far as how knowledgeable I feel like I've become in the last month and a half or since April 19th, because even April 19th, we were going full back. We're going to go ahead with the regular chemo, this traditional route, you know, and that's where we were at that point. But since then, you know, I've re-looked at them. Yeah, certainly I have looked at them. Not as thoroughly as you the thing, because we're, even the little that I have looked at is sort of something that sort of we've pushed away at the moment, you know, and hopefully we'll never have to ever approach that. You know, there's some forces here at work that may, you know, it's pushing us that way, and we were trying to stay away from that as much as possible.
Once they told you that you would have to remove one of her ovaries because the chemotherapy would render your daughter sterile at 8 years old, and they were very toxic to every organ in her body, in particular major functioning organs, of course, like her heart and her kidneys, liver and brain definitely don't go unaffected by something like that. And you've made your choice then, I can't do this to my daughter. When did you tell the oncologist this, and what was their response?
April 19th of this year, 2012, we said, okay. April 20th, the next day, we said we need some more time to think about it. And so at that point, we already sort of thinking, let's look at other options. And then, of course, immediately, it's the question. The question is, do you know how aggressive this is? Well, no, I don't. How aggressive is this? You know, this is aggressive. That means an aggressive cancer. That means the fear is the potential is it could spread. She gave me statistics and numbers of the survival rate 5 years. She said was the oncologist said it is about 70%, but 70% now, because it's localized now, the fear is if it spreads, you're going down to about 20%. So 20% in terms of if you do the same treatment. So the fear is, hey, you wait, you know, and then if you wait, you're putting yourself at, you know, your child at worst at risk. So she wanted us to talk to her about our rationale of why we're holding off on this. So she wanted to talk to us in person. So that was the following Tuesday. I think it was the 23rd. We went back to Children's to talk to the oncologist, and the oncologist had staff with them as well. And at that point, I'm talking to the oncologist as if, you know, they are on our scene, we're trying to fix the same problem. So I'm speaking, you know, candidly, just openly. I'm not at all like thinking that anything I would say would be something that they would use or maybe use, you know, against me or something at all. Because I had mentioned that, you know, I had a family member who was also a physician but was opposed to our decision, and they're also telling me the potential of the scare of it, you know, metastasizing or spreading, and then why would you do that? And so I let out information. I was just open. I was just talking, and we wanted to try another approach. And I have some idea of some holistic approaches, but it was very difficult to find someone around the country that would, you know, treat pediatric patients with this sort of an approach. And it's clearly it's understandable why. It's because what actually transpired is that when we said no to the traditional therapy, and we said no, we're not going to go that route, then they were saying, you know, we will have to call CPS, the Child Protective Services, and at that point I'm saying, well, you know, you got to give us some time, because we need some time to find it, you know. And then the fear is in my heart, like, you won't believe the fear that it would spread is something that was so much in our head after that was, you know, addressed. Every moment we're thinking, oh my God, it's going to spread. We have to do something immediately. And I think any parent or any person that has cancer would may go through that. And anyways, when we said we're not going to go the traditional chemo route, the next day Child Services was at our door.
Oh my gosh. Now, when you said that she had staff members with her when you met with the oncologist privately, did that include social workers or CPS then at that time?
No, the oncologist, I keep stumbling when I say the oncologist, or because I'm really not trying to blame the oncologist. It's sort of just the system, you know, and the system that we're with, that I think that had any oncologist been there, they would have probably done it the exact same way.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there seems. Yeah,
so
there seems.
I'm not trying to imply the oncologist is a horrible. That's sort of their way. That's the only way they know. And I'm not. The nurse was with the oncologist and a social worker, and the nurse was very, very educated in the traditional oncology. I think she was doing that for about 20, 30 years or something like that. That's what she had said, and had got her a doctorate and stuff. And sure, she's very knowledgeable in that therapy. And I had addressed them, and I pleaded to them, it's got to be, you know, there's got to be a better way. And their answer was, well, this is the best way we know. The caveat, we know that we know. But then I go, well, what about these approaches that I've seen in other countries? And we ran back here because we thought, hey, America has them. Indeed, it does. I mean, in terms of, you know, limb salvage and, you know, restoring bone, they probably, you know, I'm sure America has that. In terms of some treatments that go outside of the box, it may be less, you know, less harmful for the patient. Like, I go, why can't we try that? And if it was available here at Children's, I would certainly do that. Why can't we do that? And of course, they can't, that's not something that they would, they practice there, nor do they know, because I had mentioned other things that I wanted to try first, and they didn't really have an idea at all what I was talking about.
They're not trained in food as medicine. They're not trained in alternative therapies. They really have very little to no knowledge, and it seems that if they don't know about it, then it just must be wrong.
Right. Right, that's it. And I don't know where I heard it. I heard it somewhere. It's like you know, they are sincere. And she, you know, the oncologist was sincere. The nurse was sincere. And even now, it's already been 2 months. You know, and every day you question yourself because the fear is in your, you know, in your head. Did you want your child to survive more than anything? And, you know, and this is sort of the central point in anything that we do right now is, but they are sincere, but, you know, they are sincerely wrong.
Exactly.
You know, and so I heard that somewhere, and I said, you know, if there, these treatments are something that you guys deal with on a daily, day-to-day basis where patients' lives are at stake, you know, maybe you should be looking at other avenues, other things that maybe not that, you know, I don't want to maim my child for the rest of her life, even if she does fall into the success category, what they call, and, you know, she survives past the 5 years. So.
Right, but even wanting to have children is going to be a much harder and more difficult process for her when there are other alternatives to cutting, poisoning, or burning children or anybody with cancer. So CPS showed up at your doorstep the next day once you told them that you were not going to proceed with chemotherapy. What was that like?
Again, it seems it's so strange. Everyone is trying to do what they are, you know, doing a job that they want to be good at. I want to be good at, you know, what I do, and, you know, everybody wants to be good at what they do, but sometimes it seems like you really have to just listen and see what, look at the sort of the bigger picture. They were fine. They questioned all of our kids. They looked at the bed, you know, if everything is safe in the house. And I had expressed to them, just like I'm expressing to you, that, you know, we don't feel that is the route that we want to go, and we're entitled to a second opinion. We're entitled to, you know, deal with our child that we feel like is the best for our child. And I'm, you know, they took that and they just assessed the situation. And it was at that time that we were, you know, we had a deadline with them. CPS was already there. We were very much, you know, desperate in trying to find a facility that would take us in a holistic approach that would sort of let CPS back off a little bit and back off completely, hopefully. So,
but what was the deadline? What was the deadline?
Well, we talked to her on Tuesday. We talked to her. She gave us till Thursday. So she gave us a week. So it was a week. And CPS showed up, but she had given us a week.
So the doctor gave you a week, right? The doctor.
The oncologist gave us a week.
Isn't it strange, Jay, that we hire these oncologists for their help, and if you don't do what they say to do immediately, then they lash out at you and assume authority and responsibility that is not theirs to assume? It's just so you're wanting to seek out a second opinion from another doctor to see if there's a different route that you can take in treatment, and she thinks, this is what blows my mind, that she thinks she has the authority to take from you your parental rights and give you 1 week and change the realm of authority up on you. When you're the father and it's your parental right, you should be telling her she has a week to back off.
Right. But yeah, exactly. Can you do? But certainly, we're much passive. We took the approach that, hey, you know, you got to beg them, and that's the only. Please help us to just give us more time. This is not. And of course, the scariest, you know, it's an aggressive tumor, and this is what I heard from the family, friends, and everyone that we know that's all. That, you know, it's something that they all gave us that scare. Issue, which is, believe me, it scared us a lot. It still scares us today. We're not completely out of this thing yet. She isn't, you know, completely recovered yet. You know, we're working toward that. I think we're getting there. I'm seeing progress. But yeah, the idea that she can push it to that level, or oncologists can push it to that level, I don't know. That's how the system is, and that's another reason that it needs to be expressed. That maybe, you know, hey, why don't you let us give us a chance, and then, you know, and then use that. Because I did ask her, what alternative therapy did you tell me other patients? I couldn't be the first one that had, you know, deflected, wanted to do the treatment like you said. I couldn't be the first one. Oh, and then they say, well, it's never been successful. And it was, well, which one? What wasn't successful? I'd love to know what was not successful. You know, because we know certainly traditional chemo is not successful. We know that. But I want to know what other agent, what other holistic approach is not successful. And if there wasn't something that they could, you know, tell me for sure, because they certainly didn't know the what agents that we're using now. They don't, I mean, what the holistic approach we're using now.
Right. Yeah. Because they're not trained in that, you know, they really are not trained in true alternative therapies that have high success rates, but it doesn't take you very long to start looking on the internet and finding out about these other alternative therapies. Jay, I'm going to need you to hold on for just a few minutes while we take a quick station break. You're listening to Homegrown Health only on naturalnewsradio.com, where the best in health talk radio lives. We'll hear the rest of Jay's story and what's going on continuously with his family. The rest of his story will be coming up next. We'll be right back. Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com. Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Welcome back to Homegrown Health. I'm Joni Cox, and we've been talking with Jay Matthews. He's a pharmacist and dad who is fighting for his parental rights to treat his daughter, who is 8 years old and been diagnosed with osteosarcoma. In a holistic, natural, alternative way, the oncologist called CPS on him and his family, and he's just continuously sharing his journey with us here. Welcome back to the program, and thanks again, Jay, for being with us. So CPS, we're just going to jump back right to where we left off in our story there. So CPS, did they close the case? Did they find everything unfounded? What was their terms? Was it that why did CPS visit your house? Did they tell you why they were there?
Well, yeah, it was the hospital had filed a medical neglect case with CPS, and they have the duty to, within 24 hours to see if the child is okay. So that's why within 24 hours they're in our house.
But you hadn't even sought other, you hadn't even had the chance to visit another doctor yet. What was neglectful about, what did you do that was so neglectful?
Well, what was neglectful was that I, at that point I had, you know, when she had given me the 7 day, I had told them that we were, you know, at the mercy of, you know, the clinic, the holistic clinic, that hoping that they would take us, and I wasn't sure. So when they did, they were not satisfied with, well, that's not traditional, that they don't use chemo, they don't use, you know, so the that's what they consider that still neglectful, in the fact that if I have a board certified physician who knows far more than I think any physician that I've ever met, okay, and that's sort of my personal opinion, and the approaches that he's taking is just if I need another hour to talk about the stuff that he's come up with on our case, but it's just brilliant. But they found that that's still not the approach that they're taking. Certainly if I'd gone from Children's to Northwest, University of Chicago or anyone, they would have used the same agents as they are. So then they would be happy. But the point is that they're not using the same way over here. So that's what they consider neglectful. And the case is still open. I'm still getting calls from CPS, and no matter what I do and express to them that, hey, we have a board-certified physician here who's gone through medical school, who knows the cancer ups and downs and has made significant advances on my my daughter's actually moving her limb now. Okay, she's not, she couldn't even brush her teeth before. She's actually moving. There's progress here. You know, why can't you close the case? But they've just referred it to the Arizona case because we're in Arizona now, and we've at the holistic clinic in Vita, and so they haven't closed the case. So we're still, that is the biggest concern that we have right now is, can, at what point are they going to close this case? What point are they going to say, well, this is not good enough, or what, you know, and their CPS, I call them now, they really can't give me an answer for that, when they can close the case.
Right, because you're not endangering your child. You're actually seeking out treatment that's giving her improvement and better quality of life and movement of her arm, and things are improving, and they still refuse to close the case. Have you been visited by the Arizona CPS yet?
Not yet. They said they've referred it, and I think, I don't know, and I think they're trying to get the Arizona CPS involved to get them to, you know, take over the case, because we've been upfront with CPS. We've told them this is where we want to go. This is where we feel comfortable. We can feel completely comfortable with the physician here, and so they know where we're at. I mean, they know where they could reach at. So we kept that line with them just because we have other kids and we want to, you know, we're very fearful what would happen. I think ultimately we're so fearful that, you know, at what point would they, you know, could they force us at one point to just do the chemo? Even if I saw progression or improvement, but hey, it's not completely, you know, eradicated yet. You know, we're getting there, but it does take some time. So at what point can they push us back into chemo? That is our fear all the time.
Oh, I can imagine, because I've heard of stories where there is no longer detectable cancer in a child's body and the parents went an alternative route and they were still trying to, or were very successful in forcing them to do chemotherapy even after there was no cancer in a child's body. And there's been a lot of cases like that in the news here recently and right here on Natural News. I know that we've reported on it as well. Jay, our thoughts and prayers are with you, and I know this has got to be financially taxing. How are you guys doing in that way? How are you managing everything?
Well, I work. My wife is, you know, stay at home mom. We have four kids. So my work was pretty good. They give me 3 months off without pay. Of course, it's a sort of a law here, the FMLA there. So, and then, you know, we decided, well, you know, we have our retirement plan and stuff. So we're sort of living off of that right now and trying to make it. And Vita is great, but I mean, it is any kind of, it's it isn't expensive in the grand scheme of things. As when you consider traditional chemo, which is $500,000 to $1 million for a patient, this is, you know, significantly less, but it's still, everything is out of pocket. Every test that you do that seems out of norm. And so we're living off our retirement plan. I figured, well, you know, this is the best, we need to use it, and this is what more time can we use it. And certainly, if we would have done children's route, done the traditional chemo, our insurance would have just been, you know, $1,500, I think, as our copay. You know, these are some days we get that in a day or two of our expense here. We have about, you know, already been here for a month. I think we're going to be here for at least another month and see how much of that tumor we can eradicate, to get, you know, CPS off her back and get everyone off her back. And it is show that this, I feel, even today, after a month, I was thinking, well, could we be wrong? I still today feel more strong than ever that this is the right choice. This is the best way.
Well, and especially because your daughter has a high quality of life and she's not, you know, losing her hair and sick, and you're not destroying her immune system in order to attack a cancer. You're actually building it up and helping it, her body fight it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That is the philosophy that my physician at Indita has, that it is an immunodeficiency, and he treats it that way. He treats it as an immunodeficiency, and to boost the immune system. And he's found out remarkable things, like could there have been a cause? Children's has been doing this many things. What could have been the cause? Like, why could otherwise an 8-year-old child, a healthy 8-year-old child, and loves gymnastics and swimming? Why? Well, how could that happen? And I think he may have found it. I think he did a lab test that some people don't look at, and I sincerely think that he found that. And it's can go on, but it's a CD57. It's a sort of a Lyme's indicator, and you know, her labs came out that she was very low. It's an immunodeficiency. Lyme's has a tendency to what they call turn on oncogenes and start cancer cells, and so I think that we found the root cause. I think we have, and again, an immunodeficiency. So treating it with more chemo is not the answer.
Destroying the immune system is never the answer in fixing an illness in the body. So I'm glad to hear that she's doing good, Jay. I really am. And we are, your family is in our thoughts and prayers for sure. Is there anything that we can do to help? Do you have a PayPal account that people can help maybe make donations if they feel so led to?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, when you called and joined, there's three motives that I actually had for this. You know, one, of course, is I do need even financial support sometimes, because we don't know how CPS is going to handle this. If it gets to it, especially right now, I mean, if you tell me now, you got to take my kid and do chemo, I go, no way. There's no way. She's improving way too much. She's moving. She's brushing her teeth. She's doing things that she never. I can lift her arm. Before, I couldn't lift her arm, and without it being painful. Now I can lift. She can't lift it on her. I mean, she can't lift it on her own. But I mean, I can lift her arm, and she's not, you know, in pain. So certainly, the CPS issues are, of course, number one. Number two, financially, it is a weekly staying here, out of the state, and you know, family that was working, we're kind of living off whatever. Of course, we have a PayPal account. You know, the letter J Matthews and RPH@yahoo.com. So JMATHEWSRPH at Yahoo. And of course, the third thing was, you know, there are success stories that is non-chemo related. And it was certainly a story like this. We haven't got to the success point yet. She is still not completely clear of cancer. I feel like there's a reduction, you know, but we haven't we're not in the clear yet, certainly.
No, of course, and it's still a new diagnosis, and with an aggressive cancer like that, it is going to take time, but she's showing improvement, and there is also the lab tests you have to back you up. You have probably the x-rays or MRIs or CAT scans to back you up, showing a reduction in tumor size, correct?
Correct. That's correct. So, stories like this, that there are other options available, You know, if you could pull some of those stories of success stories that are with other options, you know, maybe the cancer community can, or the oncology community can see that there are other success stories and not just like brush it off like that was just, you know, just a freak or something. Because when they don't have an answer, they do. The last resort is some holistic approach, and that certainly I see it in Invita all the time, and they're getting healed. How is it that when traditional cancer can't do it anymore, then you find you can even heal them at that point? It's much harder is what I heard, but it's just it's happening. So there is answers other than just just the traditional chemo where everybody just seems to just run to. And it was just by some divine intervention that came and just sort of opened up these doors slowly. It took progressive. It was progressive till now. It opened up some doors that were just so, it made it so much more knowledgeable and feel very confident in the route that we're going.
And I do realize that natural health is new for you guys. This is the first time you've ever had to consider alternatives. And I'm really thankful, and I know you are too, and glad that you did, because I do cover, even on my show, there's this whole network on Natural News. We cover story after story after story after miraculous healing, after, you know, every story you can imagine on healing cancer, that cancer is able to be healed outside of cut, poison, burn.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that at this point, and a personal level, we're hoping for that. Other than the state that we're in at the current time, it's always like, well, you know, could somebody come back and say, "We told you so"? We have so many people that are telling us what we're doing is incorrect. We're seeing progress. We have everyone saying that we're physician or medically related, because that's all they know. And, we're still in that position that we feel very confident in what we're doing, but, you know, fearful of, hey, not just told you so, but we have, you know, daughter's life that we're making a decision on. And we want it to be, I want her to be restored completely back to health, not just to be maimed for life and say it's a success in the chemo world, but she's not success because look at how she's going to live the rest of her life. You know, and the idea to rush immediately into chemo is, like you said, like you caught it early, rushing into chemo, that's not really, because it, you know, we've changed everything around. We've changed, you know, we've made so many changes in terms of her diet and where eating and, and of course the treatment plan. So I think we are headed the right way.
You're the father. You have the right, the foundational right to make that decision. You as parents have that right to make for your child, and nobody should ever threaten you because you want to exercise that right. Nobody should ever want to take your child away because you are going to do what you feel is best for your child. Nobody on the face of this planet loves your child more than you.
Absolutely. They wouldn't. I would, you know, we would give our lives, or I, you know, when she's in pain, God would say this, or me or my wife, take the pain for her. No, you know, the oncologist doesn't take it in that personal level, that it is our child, and we feel like this is the best way, and there's absolutely no way. So when you put that personal, I think that the choice is the better choice when the parent makes it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jay. I cannot thank you enough for wanting to share your story on Homegrown Health on Natural News Radio today. I'm really glad that we got in contact with one another. And please keep us updated on her journey and on your journey and how things are going. Please know that you can check in with me again, and I will have you on the show again. And there very well may be others here on Natural News that would like to interview you as well and help get the word out about your story. In hopes of keeping CPS, applying a little bit of pressure and helping keep them off your back a little bit, and supporting you for your newfounded holistic approach to healing cancer.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Joni. I appreciate it.
Now, would you be willing to share your email address if someone would like to get in contact with you?
My email address is the same as my PayPal, which is jmathews, as in Sam, R-P-H. jmathewsrph@yahoo.com. That's the PayPal address. That's my email address. So certainly anybody could reach me at that number or that email.
Oh, that's great. I will be looking forward to your updates. We will be keeping your daughter in our thoughts and prayers. And just know that you're not the only parent that's ever gone through this. And listeners, if you have a way of being able to email him, or, you know, you can always email me here at homegrownhealthradio@gmail.com. I can, you know, get you in touch with him. If you have any words of encouragement or support, we would gladly appreciate it. And I know he and his wife would appreciate it and take it on.
Thank you very much, Joni, for having me and at least getting my word out here. I feel a little bit more, empowered that way, that we need to have a voice as well. So,
right, you do, and you have your rights. And that's your God-given right. And parents, this is why on my show, I am constantly encouraging you and urging you to go to parentalrights.org and sign that petition. Get your legislators involved. Get politicians involved, because this is the only way we're going to be able to change the course of this system. When the medical establishment and institutions that be do not recognize our foundational parental rights and they try to take them away from us, and they do this on a daily basis across this nation, one way, form, shape, or another. There's always, whether it's in public education, whether it's in hospitals, there are constant attacks on our parental rights, and we've got to establish that amendment. We have to amend the Constitution in order to keep sacred what is our God-given right to our children. Jay, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Joan. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm joined now by my husband, Ryan. Thank you for coming in today and talking with me about this, because we've had a lot of talks since I've been contacted by this family, and we have shared a lot of our thoughts together on many sides of this issue. And you've had some very excellent points to make with regard to what the oncologists are doing, what CPS is up to, and even how this has affected your opinion of the industry as a whole.
Well, first of all, I want to say that my opinion of the industry was pretty poor anyway, and now it's just gotten that much worse. That was a great interview, by the way, and I thought that he was pretty articulate and made some great points for himself. And told quite the story.
It's just sad that it's real.
Yeah, it is. That's every time I hear it, you just get to thinking, this is like the Twilight Zone. I mean, seriously, people. I know Chicago is like the center of organized crime and corruption, probably in the universe. But when you think about that, you think about, the victims, being mostly adults and whatever. But here it's the children. And these, in my opinion, these are criminal acts of brutality and bullying. I mean, right now in this day and age, there seems to be a lot of, hubbub about bullying.
Right.
Right. And so, you kind of get to thinking that some of this stuff, if it were happening on the playground, it wouldn't be tolerated.
No, there should be a zero tolerance bullying law in medicine.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good point.
And, you're just kind of waiting for the teacher to come along and take some students by the ear and sit them down and, explain some things to them and teach them. And if they can't be teachable, then they need to go ahead and serve their detentions or expulsions or what have you. But I think it's high time that some of these people pay for these kinds of things with their time.
And so you're saying, obviously, that the oncologist and CPS are using bullying techniques in order to get them to poison their child.
It's time these people went and sat in jail.
Well, like I said to Jay, too, earlier in the interview, You give them 7 days to straighten up their act. You turn the tables, because that's exactly what they're doing to us, and it's a false sense of authority in our lives. We pay them for their services. They don't have the right. That would be like me taking my car to the mechanic, and he gives me a $1,000 bill to change a belt on my car. And I say, you know what? You seem a little shifty with that price. You seem a little shifty with your attitude. I think I'm going to go get a second opinion.
Yeah.
And it would be like my car would be repoed, and I was thrown in jail.
Right. Right. I mean, a proper application of concern for a sick child would be if the parent had this nonchalant attitude, you know, where they weren't going to do anything, or they were just stalling, or whatever the case may be. That's not the case here with this guy, nor was it the situation with that case that's ongoing in Michigan.
It's the family in Michigan who cleared their son of any cancerous cells or any detection of cancer whatsoever. The state continues to go after them and try to prosecute them for medical neglect. Even though they've been shot down twice in court, they're still pursuing the family.
Yeah, they're wasting the court's time, and they're wasting the taxpayers' money. And I think there needs to be something done about that.
Right. I think that if normal citizens get in trouble if they abuse CPS.
Oh, yeah.
They get told they can't even call CPS ever again. We know somebody that happened to because they made so many false charges.
Yep.
Why isn't anything being done for doctors or other people in institutions making false claims against parents?
Well, and when you give these doctors this immunity, it just puts them on a power trip, and it just feeds and it snowballs until, you know, they feel like they can do no wrong. And even if they do wrong, they're fine.
They're justified.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, because they are the pinnacle of human intelligence and existence or whatever, which clearly is not the case. I mean, when I read stories like this or when I hear interviews like this, it's just maddening because it's like it's gone to a whole new level.
It has. And it's very disturbing once you understand the truth behind the FDA and the AAP and the pharmaceutical companies and the big ag companies all being conjoined at the wallet. There's no good reason on God's green earth to destroy the immune system of children with drugs and chemotherapy drugs when the inserts read not approved, not even FDA approved for use in pediatrics. When those things are in the inserts, and I am not kidding, and they're using them anyway. Here's something. These raw milk farms and these cherry factories and these supplement companies who have non-FDA approved food and supplements, or they make a claim that cherries can help heart disease, and the FDA shuts them down and takes everything away from them because it's not FDA approved. Why does the FDA not pursue the same authoritative stance when doctors are using chemotherapy and drugs that are not even approved for use in pediatrics?
Well, it's just medical dogma.
And hypocrisy.
Well, that too, but I think it's just ignorance begets ignorance.
Because nobody reads the package inserts.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're just, not like I said, they're educated idiots. I mean, you know, smart in some areas, completely stupid in others. They develop this attitude and this arrogance, this God complex, if you will. And then they get the CPS involved, and that's kind of like their six gun. So it's good cop, bad cop. You know, they come to you, hey, this is what we want to do for your kid. And you're like, I think I'm going to go get a second opinion. And they're like, quote, freeze. There's no second opinions here. You're going to give me your money. And that's really what it comes down to. There's nothing.
And you don't have the right to take their parental rights away.
Right.
They have every right to have a second opinion.
Right.
If you don't like it, tough.
There's no checks and balances. It's these bullying tactics that need to stop. And if they're going to continue, there needs to be criminal prosecutions involved with it, because this should not be tolerated, especially not in this country. He's not trying to hide from the situation. He's not in denial about the situation.
He's certainly a whole lot more cooperative than most others would be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what they're afraid of with Jay is that he's a pharmacist. So he is in the medical profession. He is in the industry. My feeling is, anyway, that they cannot afford to let this guy slip through the cracks and actually get some quality medical care, because he's not going to be quiet about it. What they're afraid of most is that they've been perpetuating this dogmatic, erroneous treatment option for so long now They've been putting up poster children from St. Jude's for so long now, and instead of people being enraged, people want to snuggle them. And who wouldn't? I mean, you look at those kids.
And when you don't know there's any other options, you're like, oh my gosh, let me help you.
Poor things. Well, if most people knew the truth about what's going on with all this, they wouldn't be able to withstand it. There'd be outrage.
We are out of time. Ryan, thank you for joining me today. I always appreciate your insight and opinions. Well, and sometimes you just say things so good off the air that I got to grab you and make you say it on the air.
Well, I know we talk about more sides of this and more in depth off the air. And then maybe when we follow up with Jay, we can talk about it a little bit more.
That'd be great.
It's not an issue that's going to go away. I mean, there's so many things to talk about. But when it comes down to cancer, and especially childhood cancer, there's plenty to talk about.
That does it for Homegrown Health. You can email me at homegrownhealthradio@gmail.com or check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/homegrownhealth. And if you'd like to show your support for Jay Matthews and his family today, go to J, MatthewsRPH at yahoo.com. And that's also where you can donate if you feel so led to on his PayPal. The Health Freedom Expo is coming up this weekend, June 15th through the 17th. Can't wait to go. Kurt Linderman Sr. with Linderman Unleashed, who you just heard prior to this show. And then before that, Robert Scott Bell. Those two are also going to be there. So it's kind of like a mini natural news reunion right up there at the Renaissance Hotel in Schaumburg. Loads of informational speakers, including a previous guest on my show, Liam Sheff. Lots of seminars, talks, discussions, luncheons. Go to healthfreedomexpo.com to get your tickets and find out more information. That does it for Homegrown Health, where you'll be always encouraged and inspired to take charge and control of your health and healing all from home. Mike Adams is coming up next with the Health Ranger Report. You're listening to naturalnewsradio.com.